that's what makes this all this whole No Kings thing so ironic. The same people who are out there, you know, No Kings, No Kings, Donald Trump, blah, 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 blah. They were all about abiding by the king's orders. Yeah. 5 years earlier, five short years earlier. You know, and that's what I got all ripped about. It's like, what are you saying, No Kings? You love this king named Tom Wolf.
Loved him.
And
loved
absolutely him. Adored him. He could do no wrong. Although, you know, 5 years after the fact, we're finding out that all the decisions they were made was based on guesswork. There was no science behind 6 foot separation. There was no science behind the masks. It was all guesswork.
This is PA Rebellion, the official podcast of the America First Caucus of Pennsylvania.
All right, everyone, welcome back. Another episode of PA Rebellion here. We have from the, I know, Lebanon County, Russ Diamond.
102nd District, my friend.
102nd District. And we also have from Fayette County, 52nd District, Ryan Warner.
Russ, thanks for joining us
hey,
today.
Hey, it's my pleasure, guys.
Heck yeah. So whenever we were talking, you guys see on the news the No Kings rally.
No Kings.
Right? No Kings. So when I'm driving home, I think two fellas here that No Kings, right? And both of your names come in. You know, Ryan, let's go back to the Whiskey Rebellion. What did the folks of Fayette County tell the government to do? What did they tell them to do?
So I take a lot of pride in being from the area in this country. We were basically the first people to tell the new federal government to go piss off when they tried to tax us.
George Washington.
Right? Yeah. That's what I always joke around with people. I was like, literally, the people in Fayette County got taxed. George Washington himself wrote in and we said, nah, we're good.
We're good. We don't need government. We're going to make our whiskey.
That's right.
We're not going to tax
that's
it.
That's right.
And so I fast forward to COVID.
Yeah.
And listen, Russ, you're a hero in my district because who was the modern day guy that told Tom Wolf what he could do with his emergency declaration? Was it House Resolution 630?
House Resolution 836.
836.
I filed it 11 days after he declared his disaster emergency because I was downtown here. I had an event scheduled at one of the restaurants, and it was like that day. And the day before, he closed down all restaurants and bars, and I went down to, like, I actually gave money to, like, the waitresses and stuff because it's like, they weren't going to get paid because it was like, you know, my event was canceled. So it was the next day then that I circulated a co-sponsor memo for what became House Resolution 836, which became the vehicle that, you know, we all use here in the House and the Senate to actually attempt to terminate the disaster emergency. That's the one that, and then it went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said, you might have a point, but the Constitution says this. Look, the Supreme Court actually got that decision right, and we anticipated that, which was why then we put up those constitutional amendments, which the people of Pennsylvania went, and they rejected the king and the queen. Remember Rachel Levine? They rejected the king. And that's what makes this whole No Kings thing so ironic. The same people who were out there, you know, No Kings, No Kings, Donald Trump, blah, 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 blah. They were all about abiding by the king's orders. Yeah. 5 years earlier, five short years earlier. You know, and that's what I got all ripped about. It's like, what are you saying, No Kings? You love this king named Tom Wolf.
Loved him.
Absolutely adored him. He could do no wrong. Although, you know, 5 years after the fact, we're finding out that all the decisions they were made was based on guesswork. There was no science behind 6 foot separation. There was no science behind the masks. It was all guesswork. And look, I get it. When you have something like that happen, it is guesswork. But don't act like you know what you're doing. I mean, and look, for me, it comes down to this. In an emergency like that, the government's job really is to alert, advise, and assist. Not to mandate, subjugate, and obfuscate the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, folks like me who are on the other side, who just ask simple questions. Are you sure that's the right thing to do?
When we
I objected,
like when we question why Wolf Cabinetry got a waiver to stay open when other businesses that were similar had to be closed down, right?
And look, and it wasn't just because, you know, it was the Wolf name there. But in my district, I had an appliance shop who, you know, they said all the nice, pretty liberal words on their application for a waiver. They got a waiver. But another appliance shop who filed for a business waiver to get out of, you know, having to be closed, they didn't use all the pretty liberal words. So, you know, but they, the two shops did the same thing. It was ridiculous. But, you know, the whole No Kings thing, it's so hypocritical. So hypocritical. And, you know, so it's like, now we've co-opted that for something else, the No Kings thing, and we can't talk about that here. Yeah. But look, it's just, I've been doing politics in general for like 20 years. I've been here in the House for a little over 10 years. So it's like I got half and half. I was an activist on the outside first, and then I became a legislator here. The one thing I've never been able to stand is liars and hypocrites. So, you know, that's kind of like been my thing all along. I mean, and look, I fought hypocrites in my own party for a very, very long time. And so when I see it in the other party, it's really easy for me to call it out. So, you know, yeah, I was at the forefront of that 11 days into it.
And people today like to bring it up when you mention about No Kings and the pandemic. When you compare them, they go, well, you know, it was a pandemic. We had to save people's lives. So I said, well, tell me why the legislature was not able to make the same decisions that the governor made.
Yeah.
Tell, what we were in session almost every week.
We were
in session more during COVID than we ever were. Tell me what stopped our ability to make laws for the people. Why did the governor himself single-handedly, unilaterally get to make laws and decisions for the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And look, I even criticized that he actually didn't use those disaster emergencies properly. Yeah. You know, under a disaster emergency, the governor has the authority to commandeer private property like hotels and hospitals and to call up the National Guard for the purpose of putting people who are recovering from COVID in a safe space so they don't go back and spread it to the other people in the nursing home. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. All he wanted to do was quarantine all the healthy. Look, don't get me started. Don't get me started. Well, because that's kind of why we talk about living in a camper.
He wanted down by the river. That was one of. Now, listen, I just came in during COVID, right? I come in.
Yeah.
I was elected March 17th and 20th. Comrade Wolf shut everything down.
Yeah.
And I remember. Your buddy's house was burned down, right?
Yeah, I had a constituent, five kids, their house burned down like, I think it was March 6th. So it was just like a week before all this stuff happened. And they literally couldn't get people to come and work on their house. The guy was a concrete guy himself. He was out of work. And they moved
there. You weren't allowed to work.
Yeah, you weren't. So, nobody was allowed to work.
Listen,
construction,
let's
outside
talk about
construction.
A king.
Yeah.
If President Trump was the king,
yeah,
would he stop people from going to work?
No.
Would he force people to get a non-experimental vaccination?
No.
Would he? Now this one here is a good one. Would he dismantle the Department of Education and kick it back to the state's decision?
I think he would if he could. That would be a good idea.
If he was a king, would he allow you to protest him?
Yeah, exactly, listen, exactly.
If he was a king, you would not be out there having your protest.
Yeah. So you know, my constituent who lived right on the other side of town from me, he and his wife and their five kids, they were living in a camper down by the river. And you know, that became a thing.
River.
I mean, I gave updates on the floor on that family and how they were faring because they were a perfect example of who got screwed under King Tom Wolf
and
Queen Rachel Levine.
Yeah.
You know, one of the points to make here in giving full authority to the governor, everyone said, well, you know, they know what they're doing, what's best for you. No, they actually lied to us.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, and let's just look at masks because people say, oh, no, you're some kind of conspiracy theorist. No. Initially, we were told by Fauci that masks didn't do a thing, right?
Oh, save them for the surgeons.
And then all of a sudden, you had to have a mask, okay? And when asked, well, why did you tell everyone they were no good? Well, we lied to you because we wanted to say. They absolutely lied to us. And actually, he was more correct in the first case because many studies had shown that the class maths do nothing. Actually, there's many peer-reviewed articles, not just peer-reviewed research that suggests that class masks with respiratory illnesses can cause more infection than it does help because you're retaining the moisture in front of your face. I always say medical masks work. Point being is the government lied to us, right? They straight up lied to us, and you were supposed to trust them. You know, trust them to handle everything. No, I don't trust them. I'm going to question it, right?
And there was a lot of people who ended up who before COVID, you know, had a lot of trust in the government.
Yes.
And now they don't. And we kind of have this, you know, and with all the damage that all those lockdowns and things did, we have kind of a societal PTSD that is spilling into everything else that's political. I mean, I want to tell you, anytime I mention COVID lockdowns on my social media, those posts get blown up because people, they remember that stuff. And, you know, when you're locked in your own home by force, that's a real problem.
What was it, 6 weeks to flatten a curve?
Two weeks to flatten the curve, which turned into 462 days here in Pennsylvania.
So there, when we talk about no kings and the hypocrisy of the no king rallies that we have, again, people argue and say, well, that was a pandemic, it was a national emergency, you had to consolidate power, which we all disagree with. I, in turn, say, okay, I disagree with you there, but then explain to me this. Explain to me how one man, the governor, is able to enact a tax on private industry without the approval of one representative or one senator. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, frankly, it pisses me off. Yeah. This is a country that was founded on no taxation without representation. Yep. And in 2025, right now, we are enrolled in a tax, right? Yeah. It's being battled in the courts. Mm-hmm. We are the
three kings.
So there are, out of every state that has joined this regional greenhouse gas initiative, this tax, we are the only state that has joined it without the approval of their respective legislature. Yep. Think about that. Think about it. And people are like, no, like, guys, it's really, really happening. Yep. The government is taxing without the consent of the governor. Yep. Think about it.
And correct. So the first time, when we appealed it, didn't the PA, the Commonwealth Court came back and said this is unconstitutional. Only the legislative body can enact a tax.
That's right.
So TikTok Josh, King Shapiro, whatever you want to call him, he appeals it on his own. He's using our tax dollars to attack private businesses in the Commonwealth. Yeah. He's, in a sense, using the taxpayer dollars to attack the citizens of the Commonwealth. Let's talk about a king. But we haven't built a power plant in 6 years. Our natural gas that we're standing on, we're really not even using it right. You know, Shapiro's sitting on that fence, doesn't know which way to go. And he wants to be king on one side because he's got to get that, he's got to get those folks on the environmental side on his side, and he wants to get the folks from the building trades on his side. But we're not doing anything. We're not building anything. We are losing here. It's craziness.
It is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, we can get into details of Reggie probably in another episode, right? I mean, it's a horrible policy all around. And I adamantly disagree with the other states that have joined it, but just a couple quick notes. We're the only energy exporter.
Right.
That's part of that. All these other groups that are like, oh, yeah, let's tax energy creators, they import energy. So, they're not even taxing their own, right? Like,
right.
It's like, yeah, it's just a feel-good thing. And Pennsylvania's like, well, gee, Wilker, you know, we actually produce the energy that these idiots want to tax. Let's join this,
Don't tax me. Tax the guy behind the tree, you know.
I mean, I will give respect to those states because they did it through the legislative process. Adamantly oppose and disagree with the whole premise of it, but at least they did it through the legislative process where people had a voice, right?
Yeah. Getting rid of property taxes in Pennsylvania is one of my it's at the top of my legislative bed.
You're sweating, your palms are sweating. Look at you.
Look, if you cannot feel confident in the ownership of your home, I think all the rest of liberty means nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you cannot own your home, you cannot have any other kind of liberty. Because as long as you are paying rent to the government,
that's it.
Yeah. You just don't have liberty. And so, it's
yeah.
I mean, it's like property ownership, the right to acquire, possess, and protect property is in Article 1, Section 1 of our Constitution. I mean, it's the very first thing, but it's like the only constitutional right that you have to pay a tax to exercise it. Imagine if you had to pay a tax to go vote.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had to pay a tax in order to express your free speech.
Yeah.
Or to go to the church of your choice. Mm-hmm. People wouldn't be up in arms, but oh, they're totally cool with this property tax idea. And you know, I have a bill to put that as a constitutional amendment. Just we're not going to tax property anymore. It's House Bill 900. I've got a lot of co-sponsors on it. I think you guys are both co-sponsors on it. And, you know, we just need to get that there because what it does, it actually sets a deadline for the legislature to act to find a different funding solution to fund our schools, our counties, and our municipalities, which is more fair because there, in any way you slice it, the property tax is not fairly applied to everybody in Pennsylvania. And there's no possible way to do it.
Nope.
Because as soon as, no matter what method you use to assess the value of properties, that's one of the biggest problems with property taxes. It costs millions of dollars just to find out how much tax is owed.
Correct.
But anytime you do that, those assessment values are outdated the day after you announce them. Because, look, people fix up their properties, people let their properties go to hell, you know, neighborhoods change, businesses come in, up the value. It's just not fair. It's not fair. Yeah. And you know, quite frankly, across the state, like my home, I don't know what my home is worth. I put a lot of work into it, but I don't know what my home is worth. My home, if you pick it up and you drop it in your district, you drop it in your district, it's going to be taxed at a different dollar amount.
Yeah,
that is not uniform at all. That goes against the uniformity clause of the Pennsylvania Constitution. Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy that we're sitting back and letting government do this to us.
I think the... To me, the biggest point that you made and why I absolutely despise property tax is because it's rent to the government.
Yeah.
Because what happens if you don't pay your tax?
Well, the government. Three years go by, you're going to get a visit from the sheriff.
Yeah. The king's going to come in.
The king's coming in, sending the sheriff of Nottingham in.
So you,
take your property from you.
To the point you made, as long as there are property taxes, you can never fully own your property.
That's right.
Right? And, you know, I look at it, you know, one of the biggest arguments that we have in this building is funding education.
Yeah.
And I've always said, if you want the fairest way to fund education, get property taxes out of it.
Yeah.
Right? You have to get property taxes out of it, then we can more fairly fund it so that a kid that lives in the suburbs of Pittsburgh can have the same fair education as someone living in rural Pennsylvania or the inner cities, right?
Yeah.
You know. So that's what I always said. I mean, it's awful because you're paying rent to the government. Mm-hmm. If you get rid of it, you can more fairly fund your schools. But one other point to make, you know, there's been efforts in the past to get rid of property taxes, but it's always just school property taxes.
This is why I love
the constitutional amendment,
okay,
because it gets rid of all of them.
Yeah.
Okay,
you have to get rid of all of them because you get rid of that whole expensive assessment. You get rid of, you know, the non-uniformity between my county, your county, and your county. And every Pennsylvanian has, it doesn't matter what revenue scheme you come up with to replace that revenue that funds our schools, our counties, and our municipalities, but it's going to be something that every Pennsylvania is paying into equally.
Yes.
On a basis of what economic activity they have going for them, whether they're out, you know, buying a bunch of crap, or whether they're like making a tons of money. It's like, you know, personal income tax or sales tax. It's like that's based on what you're actually doing, which is, to me, that's way more fair because government, I believe, exists to make sure that those markets are fair and free. And we're the referee. We should be the referee in those markets. But we're not the referee of anything that happens in your own home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like we ought to stay out of that. And, you know, we call it the American dream. The American dream is buying a little house with a white picket fence, maybe two cats in the yard, you know, that sort of thing. But it's really an American nightmare, because even after, I don't know how old you guys are, I'm approaching retirement age, and I kind of said, well, I put all this work into my house. I want to retire here, and I don't really want to have to worry. You know, my mortgage is paid off, and I don't want to have to worry about, but I'm going to be saddled, even with my piddly retirement income, of paying the government rent on three different levels to be able to stay in a house I freaking paid for. I paid for it.
Yeah.
Well, three times over, because I paid for a lot of renovations too. You know what I mean? But I paid for it. I paid for it with after-tax money. It should be mine. It should be me and my wife should be able to hang out there for as long as we want without even have to worry about, you know, paying the government rent. And, you know, if we go out in the economy and act in the economy either by earning income or buying crap, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, all right, you want to take a piece of that? That's fine, because you're the referee of making sure those markets are fair and all that sort of thing, and that I can, you know, go file a suit if somebody rips me off or, you know, commits fraud. That's fine. That's fine. I'll pay a piece of that, but not my home, brother. That's my home. That's my castle.
That's your castle.
And I'm the king.
King. You are the king.
I'm the king.
King.
I am the king. That's and right. Every Pennsylvanian should be the king of their castle.
That's right.
And the only person you should be paying tribute to is your wife.
She must be watching. She must be listening.
Well, I don't know if she's listening or not, but I mean, that's the thing. You ought to be able to spend your money on your family and not, you know, being forced to support government with rent. Yeah.
So, you know, I do know in the past that we had run some different property tax reduction or elimination bills. I know the Senate was actually one vote away from House Bill 76, which was school property
tax. That was only school tax, yeah.
It was only school. And I always stress that to people. I'm like, there's still going to be property taxes of that.
Yeah.
Matt. Like,
yeah.
It's not that, that's, again, it's why I love the complete elimination. But the biggest fight that I've seen within arguing for a reduction or elimination of property taxes is always the taxing mechanism that you replace it with,
yeah.
Right? And there's a lot of people that want income tax and,
right,
and other that advocate for sales tax.
Right.
That I personally, I would rather, if you're going to replace it with anything, be sales tax, right? I think it's a fair tax.
Yeah.
If you're rich, you're spending a lot more, you're paying a lot more in the sales tax. But that's the other great thing about the bill is that it doesn't set a predetermined taxing mechanism.
We're right. It sets the argument aside and says, let's just agree that we're getting rid of this horrible tax.
And then when we do that,
let's have our arguments then.
Let's do one step at a time. Get rid of them first.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to figure it out, right?
That's the beauty of my constitutional amendment. Yeah. It doesn't say we're getting rid of them today. It says we're getting rid of them as of July 1st, 2030. So we got 5 years.
Yeah.
You're a smart guy.
Yeah.
You're a smart guy. I'd like to think of myself as a smart guy. We can figure this crap out.
Absolutely.
We can figure it out.
And we could do a much better, fair system.
It just takes the political will to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
And that's the tough part. And I feel the frustration of people back home, but, you know, that what are you doing with property taxes? Well, you have to have more than just a handful of guys.
Yeah,
right?
We can't do it alone.
We
serve in a body that has 203 members. We need 102 people to be on our side. And then we need 26 senators to be on our side.
You also have to imagine, I mean, there are people for us, it's a big issue. It's one of the top issues in areas where we come from, right? But you have to remember, there's parts of the state where it's a non-issue.
It's pretty much a non-issue in the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah,
because they have a high wage tax, and you know their property taxes are they're unreasonable and as unfair as they are anywhere else in the state. But they're such a small piece of the total tax picture down in Philadelphia. But it's like, you know, that's one point. That's over 10% of our population. Mm-hmm. You need to get them people fired up first. So they need to know that they can be kings of their castle as well.
Well, I think that you would probably have a lot more people in the city be angry about property taxes if when they got their monthly rent statement, that it was divided and there was a section of show. This is your share of property taxes you're paying for staying here.
And look, that's
right.
Absolutely.
One of the reasons why a lot of people don't get as uptight about property taxes as I believe they should be, because they don't actually see their bills. Their bills most often go to their mortgage.
They're escrowed,
You know, most people aren't like me that have their house paid off, and they're paying that as part of their mortgage, and it's not like really split up. They know their mortgage went up, but they don't realize that it's the fault of the school board or the, you know, the county commissioners or your township officials or what have you. It's like, you have got to put more money in that escrow account with your mortgage. And but, you know, when you pay your house off, and it's actually allegedly yours, you start getting those bills in the mail, and you're like, what the hell?
I did this
What's
for 30
this?
Years. Yeah. I did this for 30 years.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's a great point about taxes in general, because I've always said, you realize that the difference that we would have in this country,
if you had to write a check
if
for all
every
taxes,
month you had to write, if you had to write a check out for taxes every month rather than it being automatically withdrawn from your paycheck, my gosh, what a revolution that we would have in this country, and how upset people would be with taxes.
If you had to make it out personally to your congressman or your senator, or me, it's like if you had to write a check to Russ Diamond to pay your taxes, I don't think Russ Diamond would stay in office very long.
Well,
people would get uptight, and they would go, you know, they'd be the Whiskey Rebellion.
There would be change. It's a huge gimmick in general, because then people, you know, they do their taxes, and at the end of the year, the government hands them back $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, and people celebrate. I'm like,
dude,
I'm like, guys, you,
they stole your money.
I was like,
they stole too much of your money all through the year, and they're not giving you interest on it.
That refund, that is not the government being generous in giving you money.
No.
That was your money that the government took extra from, right?
That's your money
the government's giving. By the way, they took it and were able to make interest on it when you should have had it and been able to make interest or invest it, right? Like, that drives me more nuts when I see people celebrate, like, oh, my God, look what we got, this big refund. Like, that's your money. It was always your money.
Well, except for the folks who pay no tax and get, you know, those tax credits from Uncle Sam. They're profiting.
That is crazy. I want to switch gears just here before we wrap up here. Federal government shut down, 26, 27 days now. We're at an impasse, 120, I don't even know what it is. But when I go out and talk to folks over this impasse and the shutdown, has your life changed at all?
Yeah.
80, 90% of the people say no. Which brings me to my next issue. How big is our government? Could you imagine folks not showing up for work and nobody even realizing that you're not? Imagine if we didn't come.
Yeah.
Nobody would even realize we're not even here. Is government – so at one point in time, we want to talk about if folks pay their taxes, it would be a rebellion. At what point in time did a folks stand up with the government and say the same thing? And I think that needs to happen. I really do. I mean, look at how many folks are just furloughed right now that if actually when we call PennDOT for an issue, this is the quickest and the smoothest it's ever been.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I don't know if this is right up the alley of you were talking there, but I was just having a conversation before we came down here with somebody on Facebook Messenger, and she was asking me about, you know, the federal holdup and stuff. I said, look, she was asking about the SNAP program, you know, which is food stamps, and then she was talking about healthcare. I said, but prior to that, she had asked me whether I believed anybody in Washington, D.C. follows the Constitution, but I said to her, I said, if you actually believe that people should be following the Constitution in Washington, D.C., you would realize that neither SNAP nor healthcare is an area of regular everyday life that the federal government should even be involved in. I mean, if you read Article 2, Section 8 of the federal Constitution, it enumerates all the things Congress can do. And there ain't no food or healthcare listed in there. It says everything else belongs to the states. Now, look here. States are different. The General Assembly has all sorts of power that Congress doesn't have because our Constitution is written a different way. We don't have that fence built around us where we have all our powers enumerated. Then it's, you know, we have the fence of the 10th Amendment that says, you know, everything else belongs to it. We don't have the equivalent here in the Pennsylvania Constitution. We're all powerful. Ooh, that's scary, isn't it?
Kings.
We're not kings. We're not kings. But the General Assembly here in Pennsylvania has more authority over areas of your regular life than the federal Congress does.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that people understand that enough. And maybe that, you know, maybe that just goes to we need better civics classes in our schools.
Yeah.
Which are, by the way, funded by property taxes.
Yeah.
Did I mention that? No.
You're not going to mistake me for a king.
We got a lot of problems we got to solve, but these are just a few of them, my friends.
If I were a king, we would eliminate property taxes. It'd be
that's
done.
That's what I tell people, too. It's like, hey, if I were a king.
Yeah.
These problems would be solved a long time ago, but you know we have 203 members in the General Assembly or in the House of Representatives that we got to get more than half to agree with us.
To your point, Eric, yes, the federal government in general, enormously too
Absolutely.
Big. Never the intention was never for it to be this big, ever, right? I mean. In a dual federalist, the system that we have, right, the states and federal government are supposed to have an equal balance. I mean, the federal government has taken over. I mean, you look at the budget of the federal government compared to the combined budgets of the states, right? So that was never the purpose of our country was founded on government not being part of our life, right? And it has changed so much, and you know, I know that Russ mentioned the 10th Amendment. And I'm a big 10th Amendment guy, and I've always said, well, look, I know all you people in California, you want to change the United States, but if you would actually just, you know, let the federal government back off, you could do whatever Fruit Loops stuff you want in California.
Absolutely. Correct.
I don't really care.
Absolutely.
California, you could go
so
on.
Could we here
you
in could,
yes, yeah. you could. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, if California, you want to be off the deep end, go be off the. I don't care how you live. Stop caring how I live.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
care how you. I really don't. Go do what. If what you're doing, here's my basis. Always in government. If what you're doing doesn't affect me or someone else, I don't care what you do.
I
don't care. You want to go make your taxes 100% in California.
Go right ahead.
You know, go ruin your state. Actually, I'd like it so people can go see what shithole that it would become, right? If you would get enacted everything that you wanted to enact.
If you go to San Francisco, that's literal.
It already right? is.
That's literal.
It's a shit mountain.
Have you seen the poop app? There's a poop app in San Francisco where you go,
ridiculous.
Oh, here's where poop is. Human poop has been reported.
And there you go. You have liberal policies. Like look at the cities, man. Look at the state of our cities. Oh. Right? And this is what you want for the rest of the country?
I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. You know, socialism, it just doesn't work. But we just want to keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And I think it goes back to the American dream is what everybody should be living.
Yeah.
I mean, you should be a benefit to society. You should fend for yourself. You should be able to take care of yourself and your family. It's that simple. But we don't, as a society, you know, we don't hold folks accountable. We chase the church out of our communities.
Yep.
We don't do anything. We don't allow God in schools. And really, it's a shame where we're headed with this.
It is. And we need to get back to the point where...
Yeah.
Every man is the king of his castle.
King of his castle. Even if it's down by the river.
Even if it's down by the river. But being king of your castle not only gives you rights, it gives you responsibilities, too.
So, when I make up my property tax bill, can I put an IOU and sign Russ Diamond on it and mail it in to him?
No.
Would that get me anything?
You cannot do that.
Well, look, we're running long on time here.
All right.
But we want to, Russ, thank you so much for joining us here today. A pleasure. We're going to have you back. There's a lot more to discuss here. And as always, we want to thank everybody for joining us for PA Rebellion. Part of the
Hell
PA
yeah.
America First Caucus.
America
Thank
First
you, guys.
America.
America. America. Thank you, Russ.
You bet.